All right, I think we all got your attention. We want to let you know that the debate continues. And here's what we've done. For the past 2 weeks, we've been getting a lot of feedback from both viewers on today's TMJ4, as well as listeners on WUWM-FM.
They've been sharing their questions of what they would like us to ask you. And so we will pull a name from this bag, and then the question, the viewer question, will be posed to that person.
So the first question is for...
It's a grab bag.
My arms are too short.
There's no rabbit.
There is no rabbit.
The first question is for Josh Paid. This is a question from Phil in Racine, who would like to know, as governor, can you promise to provide the same access to treatment and fairness in the justice system to people who struggle with crack cocaine as those who struggle with opioid addiction? And if not, why not?
No, I think we need to treat all drug addiction equally. It's a terrible strain on families and communities. And right now we're under a opioid epidemic, so it's top of the news. But that doesn't preclude any sort of drug addiction problems. We need to be investing and ensure that people that have problems get treated, that we have mental health facilities, and finally that we also treat the opioid epidemic, because I think that all of that becomes interconnected. Once we start having a comprehensive plan to get people out of those problems, then we can end the epidemic that's going throughout our communities.
Thank you.
Malin Mitchell, your question. Here is a question from Dave. He would like to know if you're going to repeal Act 10, and specifically, do you think state employees are paying their fair share of health care and pension benefits?
First answer to the question is yes. If I could snap my fingers, if I was governor and we had a Democratic Senate and a Democratic Assembly, I would repeal Act 10 on day one. But the reality of it all is that Act 10 is currently law, and it's clear where I stood with Act 10. I marched, and we marched as firefighters every day with Act 10, and it's a horrible, draconian law. Act 10 is actually Janus on steroids. So yes, I would repeal Act 10. But we can't get into the argument about Act 10 and every other worker. I want to work for every worker in this state, because if we get into Act 10, then we're actually playing right in Governor Walker's lane, and that's what he loves, and that's what he wants, and I will not do that. But the second part of your question is, are state workers paying their fair share? Well, yes, state workers are, as well as local workers are, because collective bargaining is about coming to the table and sitting with your employer and talking about hours, wages, and working conditions. And in lieu of raises, a lot of times, state workers, many times, actually in lieu of raises, actually did not get raises because they wanted health care to stay the same. So yes, they're paying their fair share. Matter of fact, they're paying twice and they're paying double what they should pay right now.
So you want to eliminate, if you can, you want to give them collective bargaining rights back again. So, but on the table, do you think that they would be required to pay their share of pension and health care?
Well, the law is that they already are required.
They are now.
And I'll tell you, as being a firefighter and being the president of the Professional Firefighters of Wisconsin, 98, not close to 100% of us are paying into the pension and into the health care when we are not required to do so. So most of us are already paying into our pension benefits, and majority of us are paying a 10% share for our premiums. So what Scott Walker did with Act 10, it wasn't about money, it wasn't about filling a budget loophole, it was about him trying to cripple his political enemies or any political enemies he may have. And it was just basically an attack on working families, and we got to end that.
All right, I will pull the next name from our grab bag. Ms. Weinhaupt. Communities are unable to invest in transportation on a regional basis, and political boundaries such as county lines have become challenging transportation barriers. One long-identified solution has been the formation of regional transportation authorities, RTAs, bodies that allow communities to coordinate and raise money to invest in transportation. Will you support legislation that enables RTAs and gives more local control of transportation to our communities? This is from Barbara in Elm Grove.
Yes, not only will I support it, I introduced it. It was passed in the 2009 budget. We had a whole bunch of people in Eau Claire that spent 18 months planning the RTA, and the governor repealed it in 2011, and I reintroduced the bills to make it law. So I strongly support local transit communities coming together to form a regional transit authority. It needs to be done. It needs to be done all across the state.
Thank you, Ms. Vineholt.
All right. I'm going to draw another name here. And this is a question for Mr. Soglin. Luke from Scandinavia, we assume Scandinavia, Wisconsin, asks, who would be most comfortable standing up to President Trump? In April, Governor Walker called up 24 National Guardsmen and women to assist at securing the border of Arizona per the president's request. How would you respond to a similar request to secure the border?
Well, first of all, I would not allow President Trump to, in effect, nationalize our guards and send them out of state. That's the first thing. But more important than that, we've got a situation now, and I want to go and talk about milk prices for a moment and how that fits in with Scott Walker and our state and the economy. Scott Walker decided that he needed to set a record for milk production in this state, and so he provided financial incentive for some farmers. Sure enough, we did set a record for our milk production in the state, and Scott Walker's got his new badge, and the farmers, of course, are going bankrupt because Scott Walker didn't understand the principles that 12-year-olds understand, which is the laws of supply and demand. So we've already got record milk producer bankruptcies in the western half of the state. Then comes the tariff wars. And if that wasn't enough, it's Harley-Davidson. It's the cheese industry.
All right, so
it's
milk. You've moved on to another question, but the question is pretty important there. You are the governor. If the governor is asked to call upon to help in a situation to secure the border, are you going to let that happen?
I'm going to tell him to go talk to Governor Christie. It's not going to happen on my watch in the state of Wisconsin. We have more important things to do, and we are not aligning this state with Donald Trump, whether it's tariffs, whether it's milk production, or it's dealing with immigration, because we are not sharing those values of hate and distrust and divisiveness that Donald Trump, with the compliance of Scott Walker, brings to this country.
All right, we're going into the grab bag one more time here, and I'm going to pull up a name, and we have Ms. Royes. So the question for you is, recently, Governor Walker chose to give a surplus in the state budget back to a select group of taxpayers through the use of a child tax credit. Given a similar situation, how would you elect to deal with the surplus? This is from Jason from Franklin.
Well, it would be great to have a budget surplus. We haven't had one in 8 years. I think we need to start making the investments in Wisconsin's future that every person in the state knows we really need to. We've got to make sure Wisconsin is a place where every person has access to affordable health care and where people can afford their prescription drugs. We've got to start investing in our kids, our K-12 public education system, but also early childhood education system, making child care more affordable. We've got to make sure that people can afford to go to college and that those of us who have already earned a degree in higher ed can refinance our student loan debt so we can go on to buy a house, buy a car, have our own kids save for retirement. There are so many investments that we can make in Wisconsin's future to help this state move forward and become a place where everyone has the opportunity to succeed. As governor, I'm going to make sure I'm prioritizing these things to help make Wisconsin be a place of opportunity and fairness again where every family can thrive.
I was going to ask, you are the parent of children. Did you elect to take that tax credit?
No, we did not. And I talked to a lot of families who did. And I understand that, you know, $100 can go a long way for a lot of families. We've had a pretty seriously shrinking middle class in the state. And that's all the more reason why we have to make these investments to help working families in our state succeed. And as governor, I'm going to do a lot more than hand out a $100 election year gimmick to families across the state. I'm going to make the investments that we all know we need, whether it's in our schools, our roads, or our health care system.
I will pull another name. Matt Flynn. Mr. Flynn, will you do everything in your power to legalize cannabis, marijuana, and facilitate ethical implementation of a cannabis market in Wisconsin? This is from Sawyer in Milwaukee.
The answer is yes. I was perhaps the first, certainly one of the first, to advocate the full legalization of cannabis for recreational and medicinal purposes, tax it and regulate it for people over 21 for a very simple reason. We've got to stop mass incarceration. It has a disparate impact in two areas, in rural areas where people may not have the money to hire a lawyer, and in urban areas, and has a terrible racial impact. I will also pardon anybody in this state who is convicted or serving time for a possession nonviolent offense. And I have a message for judges out there, cowboy judges, who think they like to give large sentences or sentences for nonviolent crimes like this, and is this. If you convict them at 10 in the morning, I will pardon them at 2 in the afternoon. Don't waste my time. Don't waste your time. The fact is, I'm going to be a strong governor, and if it's legal in Colorado, it's crazy to put people in jail in Wisconsin.
Let me follow that up with, then what would you do with the tax revenue built in from that new revenue source?
I would add that tax revenue to the $4.5 billion I'm going to get back from Foxconn. You see what I'm saying? The billion in Medicaid money he turned down, the $800 million in train money. I'm going to repair our roads. I'm going to restore the University of Wisconsin to full funding with much lower fully funded tuition. I'm going to fund our public schools. There are 20 school districts in the state that have no foreign language programs. We are going to put it into education and roads and health care. Badger Care will have a subsidy then, and I'm very much looking forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we're going into the grab bag. Go ahead, Mitch.
Okay, I think it is my turn. Mike McCabe. Mr. McCabe, this is a question from Jacob in Madison, and he writes that Wisconsin is one of the worst places to live for African Americans. What would you do to improve the economic and health outlook for African Americans in Wisconsin?
The biggest challenge we have as a state is inequality. Political inequality, social, economic, and racial inequality. And we have to commit ourselves to dealing with that underlying cause. We have to deal with the effects of mass incarceration. We have to deal with transportation and enable people to get to good paying jobs. We have to aspire as a state to erase the words working poor from our vocabulary. Do away with that phrase, and that means a living wage for every worker and health care for all, debt-free education for our young people. We need to embrace as a state what I call geyser economics. Economic prosperity doesn't trickle down, it gushes up. We need to use our resources as a state to empower regular working people from the ground up. And that's going to help people, regardless of race, across the board. But man, we've got to also deal with the fact that there is a new Jim Crow in place. It's been put in place. It is our duty to cut the legs out from underneath that new Jim Crow.
Okay, so go into specifics. When you're talking about especially the plight of African-American males in a place like Milwaukee, what are the specific programs that you would seek to put in place?
I mentioned the new Jim Crow. It stands on some very sturdy legs. One is voter suppression policies. Another is mass incarceration. Another is the militarization of policing, the evolution of policing. Used to be that the motto, protect and serve, was on every squad car. Now the philosophy seems to be intimidate and control. Those are sturdy legs that the new Jim Crow stands on. It is our duty as a state to cut the legs out from underneath that structure if we are going to create economic, social, and racial justice in our state.
Thank you.
Can we figure out who's...
I bet it's just me.
All right. It is. Mr.
Anyway.
Evers here. As you can see, we have not forgotten you. All
Thank
right.
You.
So your question comes from Don in Franklin. He says, how would you address the rising costs of health care, particularly Medicaid, which is straining state budgets?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just tell a quick story. Early on in the campaign, I had the opportunity to be in western Wisconsin in La Crosse. And I met a guy. He was saying, well, we're going to move across the river to Minnesota. Obvious question is, why leave this state? He said, we're going to keep our jobs here in Wisconsin. But he said, the Affordable Care Act in Minnesota is half the cost for the same coverage as the Affordable Care Act in Wisconsin. Scott Walker did not take the Medicaid money. I would take the Medicaid money. Scott Walker did not set up the exchanges, including a public option. We would do that in the state of Wisconsin. Additionally, we would work very, very hard to make sure that the healthcare system becomes more transparent. Transparency is something that sets us free, and when we compare, be able to compare costs easily. We need to have consumers driving this.
So let me follow up with that. You know, before there was Obamacare,
right,
there was Romney Care in Massachusetts. Wisconsin has Badger Care for low-income residents.
Right.
Do you support a Badger Care for all, and would you mandate something? Let me start, because that's 30 seconds you have. Would you have a Badger Care for all, not means
nothing? Yeah, at the end of the day, health care is really important. I'm a cancer survivor, and the issue of making sure that pre-existing conditions don't impact people in the state of Wisconsin is absolutely critical. Do I think we're going to get there immediately? No, but I do know by getting those Medicaid money flowing into the system, we can have people actually be sustainable, clinics and hospitals and dental offices across the state. That is so important to have that be a starting place, but we do need to have an end goal in mind, and that would be for all.
All right, now to our final question of the night. And this question is for all eight candidates on the Diaz. You will have 30 seconds to respond. 30 seconds to respond.
Spell Giannis Antetokounmpo. Just quit. That is not the question. All right. Since 1986, only one Democrat, Jim Doyle, has been elected governor. Republicans have won 7 out of 9 elections. Do you support, do you promise to support the Democratic nominee? And if so, specifically, how would you help him or her get elected? You have 30 seconds. Ms. Feinhaus.
Well, thank you. Yes, absolutely. Democrats need to win. Our future of a state is at stake right now. I would help the same way that I helped after the 2012 campaign when I lost in the election to Tom Barrett, and I worked with Mr. Barrett to help in Western Wisconsin to bring the vote, because whoever wins statewide is going to have to win in Western Wisconsin. And we're going to need a candidate who can appeal to that part of the state and bring people to the polls.
Mr. Sogman.
Well, we've been asked that question repeatedly over the last year. All of us, with one exception, which is Mike McCabe, have consistently said yes. And I want to make it clear that my support is unequivocal. I'm not going to ask or condition my support on anything. I will support that candidate. I will support that candidate, and I will provide voter support lists that I've got. I will go anywhere and whenever I can be helpful to that candidate.
Ms. Royce?
Enthusiastically, yes. My kids' future is on the line. All of our kids' future is on the line. You know, recent polling shows that over 70% of our voters are enthusiastic about the idea of electing our first woman governor. And I'm going to work my heart out to make sure that we can win this election. We're not going to win it by talking about all the failures of the last 8 years. We're going to win it with our positive, optimistic vision for Wisconsin's future and building a state where all of us have the opportunity to thrive. That's what I've done in this campaign, and I will do that for the nominee.
Mr. Pate, your response.
Yes, I will support whoever the nominee is. And, you know, I think if we win, it's because I was nominated. But more importantly, when you look at, you know, the military or in the private sector, when something doesn't work, you do an after action. You understand why isn't this working and how can we do it different. And I got into this race because I was tired of seeing an election where the Republicans owned the agenda, where we were just responding to where they were taking our state, and it was constantly taken in a direction that does not help working families. So I want to bring new ideas and a new vision, and that's how we're going to win.
The answer is easy, yes. But remember the last time we won statewide in Wisconsin, we had African American at the top of the ticket. And I will tell you this, I'm the state president of the Professional Firefighters of Wisconsin. I represent members as far north as Superior, as far south as Kenosha, and everything in between. And if you came to my convention, you would see 250 delegates, and 248 of those are white males that have elected me by acclamation 3 times. That means something. I have a plan to bring 50,000 more African Americans in our state out to vote. That's how we win a general election. That's how we're going to win this thing and beat Scott Walker.
Mr. McCabe.
Wisconsin needs a very different kind of leadership, and we need a new governor if we're going to become the state we have the potential to be. But it is a mistake I stand apart from my colleagues up here on stage. It's a mistake to make a party loyalty pledge. That sends the wrong message to voters. It says that you all think that party comes before everything. And it also says that whatever the Democratic Party puts forward is good enough. It's not good enough. Scott Walker's been elected 3 times. It's our job to excite people and inspire people and give them a reason for a different direction.
Mr. Flynn.
In October, there's only going to be one of us on this stage taking on Scott Walker. Only one. A lot of good people here. Who on this stage has the demeanor, the ability, and the experience to dismantle him, to eviscerate him? Because, right, this is a Baker Street irregulars over here have a good sense of humor. The fact of the matter is that there's only one. I think I'm that person. If I'm not that person, I understand. And then I will campaign for anyone who asks me to. I endorse all of them. And I would campaign as requested. Thank you.
I would support the candidate and in every way possible help him or her win. It's going to be me, though. I have won 70% of the vote last time I ran for state superintendent. I'm the only person on this stage that has won a statewide race. Last time, 70% of the vote, 70 of 72 counties. That isn't important. This race is about all of Wisconsin. The Milwaukee-Madison corridor is absolutely imperative for the Democrats. But this will be a full state race.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Now, each candidate will get a minute, 10 seconds. A minute, 10 seconds for closing statements. The order was chosen by lottery earlier this afternoon, and the first will be Mr. Paid.
Thank you. Thanks for having us tonight. Thank you, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I'm a proud graduate of the University of Wisconsin system. I went to Eau Claire, so we're a friendly rivalry, but I enjoy being down here. We have a choice to make in August. Where are we going to take our party? Where are we going to take our state? We have a lot to fix. People are working too hard for too little money. Our students are not getting the education that they need. We need to fix all those things, but we need a vision that takes us further to address the generational and technology changes that are happening rapidly in our economy, in our cities, across the world, that are impacting us here in Wisconsin. To make sure that all of our farmers can get the income that they need. To make certain that everyone who's working really hard can get the money they need to pay the bills. And we need innovative solutions, big ideas that Wisconsin used to be known for from the progressive movement. Things like reworking our tax code so that it works for the middle class. Having regular refundable tax credits that work to eliminate child poverty. Doing things like public service initiatives that gives everyone an opportunity to get education in exchange for serving their state. We can do big ideas again, and we can't do it unless we have new leadership, and that's why I'm in this race, and that's why I'm the best candidate.
Ms. Feinhout.
Thank you. My life experience is very different from the people here on the stage. My father dug ditches and finished cement for a living. I really wanted to go to college, and he didn't want to sign my financial aid papers because he thought the college would be wasted on a girl, which is why it's so important to me that we have free tuition for 2-year and tech colleges. I know what it's like to get up at dawn and milk cows and get hit across the face with a nasty tail from an unhappy cow. I live in a part of the state, a beautiful Buffalo County, where internet comes at a slow walk, and you need a guide to tell you not only where the fish are biting, but where you can get a cell signal. I know what it's like to run against a popular Republican incumbent and win. I have won 3 times in a district that also Scott Walker won 3 times and Donald Trump won. And I don't need a crash course in what Scott Walker has done in the last 8 years. I've written alternatives to the governor's budget with exactly the same amount of money. I've shown where the money should have gone if the governor had put people first. I ask for your vote on the 14th of August.
Our next closing statement comes from Mike McCabe.
So far in the 21st century, no state in America has seen its middle class shrink more than Wisconsin. And we've got the potential to be so much better and do so much more as a state. But to do that, we've got to deal with the fact that there's a cancer growing in the body of our democracy. Cronyism and corruption and what amounts to legal bribery has been allowed to take root in our state, and it has to be uprooted. Because I want this state to be a place where there's health care for all. I come from a farming background, too. And I was 22 years old before I was first covered by health insurance because our family chose to forego it in order to keep our farm profitable. But I'll tell you this, we're not going to get good health care from a sick political system. And we're not going to get living wages from a dying democracy. And we're not going to get clean air and clean water from a dirty politics. And we're not going to get anything more than thoughts and prayers after each new mass shooting, as long as elected officials are paid to take no other action. We've got to deal with that cancer in the body of our democracy, cut it out, for this state to become what it has the potential to be.
Thank you, Mr. McCabe.
No applause, please.
Thank you. We have 8 good people on this stage. But I have a track record of actually turning our big ideas and our progressive values into real results. When I was the executive director of NAREL Pro-Choice Wisconsin, I helped to pass the first pro-choice legislation in this state in 30 years through an anti-choice Republican assembly. So I know how to reach across the aisle and get things done for working families in Wisconsin. I also helped expand health care to over 80,000 Wisconsinites when I was in the assembly as the vice chair of the Committee on Health. We need somebody with that kind of commitment. I helped make Wisconsin a leader in banning BPA, a toxic chemical in children's products, so much so that California looked and said, hey, we better get on the boat, because look what Wisconsin's doing. We can do that again. We can be a leader in addressing climate change and clean energy. We can be the education state again, and we can make sure every Wisconsinite is covered by health insurance. Let's do it together. I ask for your vote on August 14th to make Wisconsin a place of opportunity again. Thank you.
Mr. Soglin.
Well, we've got a challenge in front of us, and it is Scott Walker. It is a backwards view of the state of Wisconsin. We need a candidate for the Democratic Party who not only can describe the problem and recommend solutions, but has actually governed a $300 million operating and capital budget, knows how to balance a budget and to make the tough decisions about law enforcement and community services, knows when asked the question, what are you going to do about disparity in the state of Wisconsin, how we are going to change the public education system, how we're going to deal with out-of-school time where children are two-thirds of their waking hours, not in the classroom, but given other opportunities to learn. We're going to have the opportunity to reverse the way tax credits are used instead of putting them into Foxconn, putting them into affordable housing. Someone has to do this who has had the experience and knows the state of Wisconsin and is visible.
Thank you. Right on cue. Mr. Flynn.
I'm running for governor because, very simply, I'm not going to stand by and watch our democracy destroyed. In Washington, D.C., Donald Trump is betraying us to Vladimir Putin and the Russians for bribery and blackmail. And in Madison, Scott Walker has betrayed us to his donors. We used to be known for honest government, clean water, and high wages. And today we're known around the country for corrupt government, dirty water, and low wages. And I'm going to change that. When I served in the Navy, I defended our country. When I served as a lawyer, I defended my clients. And when I serve as governor, I will defend you. And the ship that I was stationed on had sailors from Mississippi and New York, from Alabama, California, Wisconsin, Arkansas, Wyoming. We were shipmates. There was no north-south divide. There was no urban-rural divide. We stood watch together. We worked together. We went on liberty together. We were shipmates. Everybody in this room is my shipmate. Everybody in the state is my shipmate. And if you put this Navy vet in the governor's chair, I will turn this ship in the right direction. Thank you.
Mr. Mitchell.
We have a term in the fire service that's called all hands working. It means that everyone is working together to solve a problem. Just recently, 2 days ago, actually, we lost a firefighter in Sun Prairie. He's not in my association. He's not one of my members. But you know what? When I got the call that we lost a brother in the line of duty, I didn't ask, was he a friend of Scott Walker, or what was his political affiliation? I didn't say, well, is he a union member? I said, no, we're going to send resources to Sun Prairie, and that's what we did. We have a shared enemy in this state. It is the division that Scott Walker has created. And we are better than that as a state of Wisconsin. We can do better. That's why in my campaign, I've brought coalitions together of people that don't normally think like us, people that don't normally see eye to eye. I don't just go into great town hall meetings or Democratic Party functions and everyone's clapping, doing this and snapping. No, I go in the belly of the beast and talk to people that we need to vote for us. That's why in our campaign, we brought everything to the table. everything it takes to win. Money, marbles, and chalk. Everything it takes to play. And we have to go out there and win this thing against Scott Walker November 6th, and I'm the candidate to do it.
Mr. Evers.
I think the state of Wisconsin is blessed to have 8 great candidates like you see in front of me. The issues between us are pretty small. I mean, we're all Democrats, for gosh sakes. You would think that we'd be pretty similar on the issues. This campaign is about defeating Scott Walker. He came into office saying, we're going to divide and conquer. And that's exactly what he did. I have won statewide. I'm the only candidate that has won statewide. Additionally, I have lived all across the state of Wisconsin. I began my career as a teacher in Toma and a principal. I've worked in Oakfield and the Fox Valley. That's an important part of the state. That's where 40% of the vote comes from. Those things are critical to winning this race. Additionally, I have actually run things. I've been in charge of schools, school districts, regional agencies, and now I'm in charge of an agency that's responsible for 860,000 kids and the 100,000 adults that serve them. I will start on day one, no assembly required.
All right.
Thank you.
On behalf of my co-moderators, I want to say thank you and good night.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good job.